This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Panthers Insider, an in-depth preview of the week.
He shot, he scores!
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey over the course of the next hour. Dan Day on the other side of the glass, and well, getting you set for a big day for the Panthers, because there is a 5 o'clock game four coming up from Tampa here this afternoon into the early evening, whatever time of day you consider that to be. There's a big game. The Panthers lead this first round best of seven series 3-0. So the Panthers are on the verge of moving on to round two, punching a ticket to round two, on the verge of a sweep if they can get this one here today. We'll be on the air with Panthers preview at 4:30. First things first, a big game four today in Tampa. That's where I am right now. So again, big game four in Tampa. Panthers hoping to close it out. We'll have it all beginning with Panthers preview at 4:30. Puck drops at 5. If you're tuned in, Miami-Dade and Broward counties, AM 790 WAXY is your place to listen. But elsewhere, Real Radio 92.1 in the Palm Beaches, Real Radio 101.7 on the Treasure Coast, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. If you have the SiriusXM app, channel 932, you can always get us there. You can also always find us on the Panthers app. Takes all the guesswork out of it. Hit that radio button in the top right corner. You'll get our broadcast each and every game. So again, lots of different ways to tune in. Make sure you catch the action today live from Tampa. Pre-game coverage at 4:30. Puck drop shortly after 5. Panthers lead the series 3-0. So in mentioning that, we are going to recap the week that was coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Of course, in the event things don't go the Panthers' way today, game 5 with the old if necessary tag next to it would be Monday night, time to be determined at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. So that would be the upcoming schedule. If the Panthers win today, then it's going to be sit back, rest up, and await the round two opponent, which would be the winner of Boston-Toronto, and wait for the start of that series. So that's the couple of different courses of action here, the way things could play out. Just have to wait and see. Panthers would love to get it done today and have a little bit of a chance to catch their breath after this series against the Lightning. So that's what's going on here. The Panthers, again, lead the series 3-0. We'll go back through the week that was here in just a moment. We'll have some highlights from each of those first 3 games of the series. And then coming up in just a couple of moments, we will also hear from Brandon Montour, some post-game reaction from the other night, the Game 3 victory. We'll hear from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. A couple of sound bites from him, one after the victory on Thursday in Game 3 and the other yesterday, when the Panthers held their media availability. And also yesterday I had a chance to hear from Aaron Ekblad, so we'll have a couple of sound bites from him reflecting back on the Game 3 victory. So that's going to be coming up here in this segment. Jameson Olive from the Territory Talk podcast from FloridaPanthers.com, he'll stop by segment number 2 and we'll chat all things Panthers with him. And my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, Billy Lindsay, is going to stop by coming up in segment number 3. It was actually 28 years ago today. And if you're tuned into the broadcast, we'll go a little deeper into this. And we'll have Billy on board with us to go into it, because it'll be This day in Panthers history, when we get to that coming up during the pregame show tonight, but it was 28 years ago today that Billy scored the eventual game-winning goal in that Game 5 against the Boston Bruins, Round 1 back in 1996, that, again, wasn't just the eventual game-winner in that game, but it ultimately clinched that series for the Panthers, and they won their first playoff series as a franchise 28 years ago today. So, historical note there, and we'll have, again, Billy Lindsay, who scored that eventual game-winning goal 28 years ago, is going to be stopping by coming up in segment number 3 on this program. So again, lots to get to, and when we get to our pregame show coming up at 4:30, we'll get Billy to chat a little bit about that when we get to this day in Panthers history. So again, lots to cover a little bit later on here on this show and as we go on throughout the day. Let's get right into reliving the week that it was here. The Panthers coming up with 3 straight victories to start this series. Going back to 1 week ago today, Game 1, Amerant Bank Arena. The Panthers won Game 1, 3-2 in regulation. Here's how it sounded on the Florida Panthers radio network.
Tarasenko on the left wing. He'll put it around the end wall. Reinhardt, Tarasenko in front. A chance, it just hopped away from Barkov. Rolling out to the line. Forsling one. Wrist shot tip. And they score! The Panthers strike first. It was tipped out in front. 1-0 Panthers. And it looked like it was Sam Reinhardt who got a piece of that shot from the point. 1-0. 13:43 to go here in the opening frame. The Panthers are on the board. Kachuk, he's got it on the end board, shuffles it out to the right point for Hagee there. Now to the far circle, Barkov at a sharp angle. Barkov looks around, up front, they score! They score! It was tapped home! Carter Verhaeghe on the back door, and the Panthers take a 2-1 lead! 58 seconds into the third, a power play goal! And now it's Hagel looking up the near side for Kucherov. He'll backhand it down to our right. Back behind the net, Ekblad. He's going to toss it off a stanchion, bounces to Kachuk at center. Kachuk looks toward the empty net. He scores! Matthew Kachuk on the empty net. It's 3-1 Panthers with 2:05 to play here in the third. And the Panthers get the multi-goal lead, and they cash in on the empty net. And goes to the far circle. Hedman, Kucherov slides it out front. A shot breaking point. What a save! Made by a sprawling Sergei Bobrovsky as he came out to challenge Braden Point. A golden opportunity for Tampa Bay and a massive save for Sergei Bobrovsky here in the late stages with 53 seconds to play. He read that one like a book and he came right out against Braden Point and made a highlight reel save to keep the Panthers up by a pair. And that's it for this one. The Panthers take Game 1 by a final score of 3-2. The Panthers take a 1-0 lead in this first round best-of-7 series against their cross-state rivals, Panthers 3 and the Lightning 2. That's a final from Amerant Bank Arena.
So that was Game 1. Panthers won the game 3-2. You had goals for Sam Reinhardt, Carter Verhaeghe, and Matthew Kachuk. A couple of assists for Alexander Barkov. Panthers got it done in regulation 3-2. Speaking of a 3-2 final score, they would win 3-2 in Game 2 on Tuesday as well. This one, though, went beyond regulation time. Here are the highlights from Tuesday's 3-2 overtime win.
Kachuk on it for the Panthers, on for Verhaeghe, rink-wide feed, Sam Bennett received it on the backhand, he'll take it up that right wing side, out of the far corner, backhand out front, Kachuk a whack at it, save Vasilevskiy, rebound, and they score, and it's Sam Bennett, able to get the Panthers on the board, it's 1-0, 13:44 to go, here in the opening frame, playoff Sam opens things up tonight. Rodriguez out the line, Tarasenko across right point, it's Ekman Larson along the far side, Lundell, Bennett backhand feed up top, Ekman Larson tees it up, a blast, save made, rebound, they score, and the Panthers get a power play goal on the rebound, right out in front, it was Vladimir Tarasenko to jam it home, and the Panthers lead 2-0.
Out of the zone, Sorelli, and he's going to take this into the Panther zone. Has a man trailing in. Let a shot go wide off the inboard. Put up front. Stamkos back it.
Oh, what a save, Bobrovsky! Bobrovsky with the trapper to deny Dumba, the defenseman who was open in front with a yawning cage. Sergei Bobrovsky displaying acrobatics to keep this game tied at 2. The fans here at Amerant Bank Arena can't believe what they just saw. That display of goaltending and gymnastics from Sergei Bobrovsky.
Absolutely diabolical. How did he come up with that?
Chernak up the wall, got the clear. Mikula wrists it back in for the Panthers. That rims around the end wall, near side. Lilleberg trying to poke it away from Kachuk. Loose out front. Backhand try. And they score. Carter Verhaeghe upstairs. And this one's over. The Panthers win it in overtime. 3-2 the final. Carter Verhaeghe, the game winner.
Money time.
So before 19,484 at Amerant Bank Arena back on Tuesday, a 3-2 overtime win for the Panthers. Carter Verhaeghe, the overtime hero. You heard the save in there that Sergei Bobrovsky made in the second period on Matt Dumba, and that one has made the rounds, being talked about across the hockey world still. And I can tell you just from my experience, one of the best saves, if not the best save that I have ever seen in person anywhere. That was just an absolutely unbelievable display of goaltending, especially considering the circumstances there and what was on the line in that game and a playoff game. It was tied at the time. Just a massive save. The Panthers took a 2-0 lead with that win. The series would shift to Tampa on Thursday night for game three of the series, and it was the Panthers with an opportunity to take a 3-0 stranglehold on the series, and the Panthers once again came out on top. Here's how it sounded on Thursday night at Amalie Arena.
Lilleberg up the far side. Hagel couldn't clear. Kept in. Montour in front. Lundell. And he'll poke it down to the corner. Verhaeghe. Lundell behind the net. In front of shot. They score. And it's Matthew Tkachuk. He was set up perfectly in front. And the Panthers strike first with 9:21 to go. Here in the first period, the Panthers get the first one here tonight. Now it's Tarasenko again across Reinhardt right circle. A shot. He scores. Sam Reinhardt ties the game at two. With 10:02 to go here in the second. What a setup. And Sam Reinhardt able to cash in. He beats Vasilevsky short side, and we've got a whole new hockey game as we approach the halfway point tonight. Lawrence holds it in near side along the boards to Cousins. Back down low. Cousins working with it. Duclair poked it away. Lawrence finds it out to the line. Montour a drive, and he scores! Top shelf from just inside the blue line. Brandon Montour gives the Panthers a 3-2 lead. Now a funny bounce out front. A shot, Stephen Lawrence, and he scores! And the Panthers take a 4-2 lead! Stephen Lawrence had the puck come out front, and he wasted no time. He jams it past Vasilevsky, and the Panthers take a 4-2 lead!
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Down to our right. Puck handled by Forsling, flipped along near side. Verhaeghe tips it along. Here's Tkachuk toward the open net. Tkachuk near circle. A shot. He scores. Matthew Tkachuk, the empty netter. And the Panthers take a 5-3 lead with 31.5 on the clock. 10 seconds on the clock. 5-3 Panthers. The Lightning faithful heading to the exits. 5-3. The Panthers are going to win this one here tonight. The final horn sounds. The Panthers take game three by a 5-3 final score, and the Panthers have taken a commanding 3-0 lead in this first round best of seven series.
So the Panthers got the win there in game three to take a 3-0 lead in this first round series, as you heard right there. Here's Panthers defenseman Brandon Montour post game on overcoming the deficit to win that game three. So Brandon Montour post-game on the victory there for the Panthers, and here is Paul Maurice as well. This was post-game on Thursday night. Panthers head coach Paul Maurice with his thoughts on the victory in Game 3 post-game. So Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there post-game after the Game 3 win yesterday. We had a chance to catch up with Panthers defenseman Aaron Ekblad, and here's what he had to say as far as what were the biggest factors in the Game 3 win.
It was a strong effort. Coming out in the third period and getting that fourth goal was huge for us, obviously, and ended up being the game winner. So the fact that we didn't sit back and continue to push the offense and push the pace and, you know, keep our gaps and do all the good things that we do well was admirable.
So that's Aaron Ekblad, Panthers defenseman right there. And the Panthers now turn the page to today's Game 4. 5 o'clock face-off, 4:30 Panthers preview across the radio network. As always, the Panthers app makes it so easy to find the broadcast. We're going to step aside. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about the series, about today's game. Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com on the other side of the break. And then later on in the program, my broadcast partner on the Panthers radio network, Billy Lindsay, will stop by. So we'll talk to Jameson coming up straight ahead. The Panthers Insider Show continues. I'm Doug Plagans. This is the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans with you talking all things Florida Panthers hockey here on a Saturday morning as the Panthers are getting set for this evening's Game 4. And not just any Game 4. The Panthers a chance in Tampa today to punch their ticket to round 2 once again. So it's the Panthers and the Lightning. 5 o'clock face-off from Amalie Arena in Tampa. We'll have you covered across the radio network. The one programming note for this evening, if you're tuned in Miami-Dade and Broward counties, you'll want to find us on AM 790 WAXY. But of course, if you have the Panthers app, takes all the guesswork out of it. So if you don't have the Panthers app, make sure you get it. You can hit that radio button top right corner. Make sure you are somewhere ready to consume Game 4 coming up today. We'll be on the air with Panthers preview at 4:30, and we're dropping the puck shortly after 5 o'clock. And a reminder, folks, you can head over to flateamshop.com, get all your Panthers playoff gear. You want to make sure you're all geared up for these Stanley Cup playoffs. And of course, you can go to Pantherland over at the FTL War Memorial, open 7 days a week. Get your Panthers gear there as well. Like I said, you go there, you go to flateamshop.com. You can dress like our guest who just stopped by here, joining us from FloridaPanthers.com, joining us from the Territory Talk podcast. You'll be able to hear him in the second intermission coming up later on today. Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, kind enough to stop by. Well, Jameson, coming to everybody from Tampa here, where the Panthers are set to play the Lightning in Game 4 coming up today. But again, since last time we talked to you on Panthers Insider, the Panthers are into the playoffs. They've taken a 3-0 lead in the series. It hasn't all been easy, but the Panthers have just been better in each game, and that's why they've got the lead right here. What's been your overarching takeaway from the first three games of the series here?
Doug, there's been a couple. For me, it's a lot to do with depth. I think the Panthers have shown they're the much deeper team. You saw in Game 3 there, the fourth line just really come up with a spectacular performance to help get the job done and, you know, push the Lightning to the brink of elimination. Goaltending's been pretty darn even. You know, both goaltenders have been so good, both future Hall of Famers for a reason. Both giving their team a chance to win these games. And that's another thing I'll point to. These are actually really tight games. You know, 3-2, 3-2, 5-3. All three could have gone either way with the Panthers. Maybe it's what they learned last year, just finding a way to get the job done. That being said, the Lightning, a lot of guys in that team have 2 Stanley Cup rings right now, so they know how to get it done as well. The Panthers just finding a way to win. They're determined. You know, they're a little bit younger than the Lightning, too. Their star player is a couple years younger, so maybe this is finally that changing of the guard. Let's not forget, Steven Stamkos, a free agent after the season. Don't know what's going to happen there, but maybe this is finally the time for, you know, the Panthers' window to really open wider as the Lightning starts to close a little bit. So we'll see about that. But overall, just a really tight, good series. Paul Maurice said, you know, before it even started that this is a series that maybe could go 7. Definitely feels like it could have gone 7, but, you know, with the way the Panthers are playing, they're up 3-0 right now. It might go 4. We'll find out.
And as far as history shows, when you go up 3-0 in a series, your chances of winning the series, well, they increase greatly. The Panthers do still have to get that fourth one. They always say that the toughest win to get in a playoff series, regardless of the situation, is the fourth one. Jameson, going into Game 3, one of the big points to watch, and you mentioned the depth of this team, and it's been a real luxury, and Paul Maurice has said that this team right now, deeper than the Panthers were 1 year ago at this time, and that depth was put to the the test with Sam Bennett going down with that injury in game two. And as far as Anton Lundell goes, he got the first crack to get in there, fill in on that line with Tkachuk and Verhaeghe, had a great pass to set up Matthew Tkachuk's opening goal in game three. But Anton right now, it's easy to forget, he's still just 22 years old. He's got over 30 games of playoff experience, and it seems like he's turning into that kind of guy that gets stronger as you get into these kind of games during the year. How impressed have you been, and how impressed were you in game three with the way he was able to slide in there and do a really nice job filling in for Sam Bennett on that line?
Yeah, not just game three. You remember in game two, he played a lot of that game in that spot with Sam Bennett going out, with Sam Bennett, you know, being knocked out there in the second period, and he assisted on the game winner in OT, Verhaeghe's beautiful shot there. So he's been doing it for a while now for the Cats, and let's not forget, he's only 22 years old, but at the same time, he's got over 200 NHL regular season games, over 30 playoff games already, so he's a really seasoned young guy. A lot of times, you know, you and I have talked about it before, if you're 22, you might be a rookie, you might be making your debut, you might be getting your feet wet. He's a veteran at this point, and you've seen it coming over the years with how good he was defensively, and, you know, he came into this league very much, they called him Baby Barkov for a reason. He came into this league thinking defense first, but he's got an offensive upside, he's got a lot of swagger, and it's kind of, you know, this is his chance, and he's making the most of it right now. A spectacular third line center already, but he's really showing what he can do on the second line through a game and a half here for the Florida Panthers. You know, not just the setup on Tkachuk's opening goal, but the physicality. Let's not forget, he bumped right through a Lightning player there on the slot, you know, to get the puck and get it around to Matthew Tkachuk. So another reason the Panthers have all the confidence in the world, like you said, is their depth. And it's not just the guys in the fourth line stepping up. It's the fact that when you lose a second line center, you can easily move your guy in the third up, move the guy in the fourth up. Everyone just shifts around and the team doesn't miss a beat. So, you know, Anton Lundell, 22 years old, a lot more hockey left, and just a real reason to be excited about. Obviously, we always talk about the present, enjoy the present, but the future of the Florida Panthers, this window is just opening.
James Sinala, FloridaPanthers.com here with us again. The Panthers and the Lightning, game four coming your way today, 5 o'clock. We'll have you covered across the Panthers radio network. And again, the Panthers looking to close this thing out, and big opportunity for the Panthers coming up here to try and punch a ticket into round two. Game in Tampa coming up today at 5, and of course the next game at Amerant Bank Arena, if necessary, would be on Monday, but the Panthers going to do their best to make sure that they earn themselves a little bit of well-deserved time off if they're able to get this series done coming up today. Jameson, looking back to the last one, I thought it really illustrated a lot about this Panthers team and some of the traits that we saw during the regular season. This Panthers group during the regular season, 26 road wins. They were one of the best road teams in the National Hockey League. They had a great penalty kill all season long. That showed through. They're a great 5-on-5 team, and they didn't have any power plays to speak of in game number three. And you throw all that together, you might think, okay, going up against the Lightning, they get a handful of power plays specifically early on. They're the home team. You might think that the deck was stacking in Tampa Bay's favor, but the Panthers didn't let any of that faze them. They wound up getting the 5-3 win. Was that just kind of in some ways, a game in which you saw a lot of the hallmark traits of this Panthers team shine through? Because like I said, they didn't need the power plays. They were the road team. They overcame a deficit during the game. Situations when a lot of teams might have gotten uncomfortable. This Panthers team was just confident throughout.
100%. I think a good word for it would be maturity. This is a mature Cats team. You know, I've liked the officiating the first two games, but game three definitely was a deck stacked against you game. Like you said, a couple calls there for the Lightning, 4 power plays. 1.5 maybe unjust. Let's not forget, they're not all bad calls, but definitely not perfect night for the refs. Panthers probably deserved at least one power play in that game. And easily, like you said, they're on the road. The Lightning are the home team. They're, you know, recent back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. You could easily say, this game's not going our way. You know, everything's for them tonight. We'll get them next time. Not the case of the Panthers. They go on the penalty kill. And, you know, for me, the PK, and not just for me, Paul Maurice says it all the time, biggest improvement from last season. You bring in guys, you know, like Kevin Stenlin, who's just a face-off wizard and just so good on the penalty kill. You know, Dmitry Kulikov has been a big boost on the PK as well. They reshaped the penalty kill, and they have a mentality on it now where they have such confidence in it. Aaron Ekblad, we talked to, you know, on Friday morning, basically said they kind of get a little excited when they go on the PK. They like the challenge, and they've been so good at it this year. And last time I checked the numbers, you know, the Lightning obviously led the league in the power play department during the regular season. I believe it was around 28%. They're hovering around 16%. Right now in the playoffs. So that's a big, big decrease, and that just gives a big credit to the Panthers. And that'd be even worse if not for that late goal from Steven Stamkos in game one. Really didn't mean nothing on the power play. So the PK, Sergei Bobrovsky, depth, maybe the biggest three things for the Panthers here through three games in this series. But one guy that deserves, one stick tap in particular would definitely be Aaron Ekblad. Let's not forget, he barely played for the last month of the season. He was injured, came back for a game or two, got injured again, and then came back for game one of the playoffs. And the Panthers have spent about 18 or so minutes on the PK in the series. He's played almost 12, or should I say a little over 12 minutes on the PK. He's been their horse on the PK this series. So Aaron Ekblad, just an absolute warrior out there.
Lots been made of it, Jameson, but one of the moments, I guess one of the signature moments, maybe the signature moment here through the first week of the Stanley Cup playoffs, not just in this series, but anywhere, was the save Sergei Bobrovsky made on Matt Dumba during Game 2. And you look at that one, and having looked at it countless additional times on various replays, like I have, like I'm sure everybody has out there, to see exactly how did he do that. Considering the circumstances, it was a tie game in a playoff game in a rivalry matchup. The Panthers were trying to maintain a lead in the series. Considering all the factors, plus just the sheer acrobatics that it took to make that save, where did it rank on the best saves that you've ever seen in person covering a game?
It's probably number one, like you said, when you factor in everything, just for the fact as well, like you said, that would have put the Lightning ahead late. Lightning probably hold on to win that game. They find a way probably. Then they head home. You know, it's a 1-1 series. They probably feel pretty good. Maybe they win that first home game. Maybe it's a 2-1 series at that point, and the Panthers are settling in a hole. So that's the best part about playoff hockey. One play really does change so much. It's crazy to think. These are, 60-minute games. A lot can happen, but a lot of times it does boil down to one moment or two. And Sergei Bobrovsky right there for the Florida Panthers, as he has been ever since last year's playoffs. Just a man on a mission ever since. And Vasilevsky's answered. Vasilevsky's had a lot of big saves as well. The Panthers could have blown out the Lightning in a couple of these games, but that just hasn't been the case thanks to Vasi. So, like I said before, an elite goaltending matchup in this series. But for Bob in particular, I just love what an icon he's become in South Florida for the Panthers. Let's not forget, he had a couple down years with the Cats. Some people were kind of, not in Bob's corner for a little bit there. And it's tough. You're the guy making the big contract. You're expected to be the best guy every single night. And in the National Hockey League, that's one of the hardest things to do, is just be a consistently good goaltender. It's mind games. It's the defense in front of you. It's how you're playing. Goaltenders come and go a lot in the NHL because of that. But for Sergei Bobrovsky, a guy that's won two Vezina trophies, to kind of have that dip and then come back and probably be a finalist again this year and kind of have another chapter in his career at 35 years old has been so impressive. And anytime you hear the Bob chants, anytime you see the Bob love on social media, whether it's Brick Wall Bob, whether it's Bob with that no emoji, like, he's just revitalized, himself here for the Florida Panthers. And it's just so deserved, because he never stopped working, even when that little slump was there. He's worked hard every single day he's been here with the Cats, so just so deserved and so great to see. And then to see that save everywhere. Like, that save was on places you don't normally see NHL hockey.
Or sports, for that matter.
Exactly. It was fantastic. So the whole world knows who Sergei Bobrovsky is now, and that's well-deserved.
Last thing here for you, Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, here with us, and then we'll let him get going to get prepared for his After 40 segment this evening. That's when the real hard-hitting questions come out. But Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, kind enough to stop by. Jameson, I thought in Game 3, the Panthers did a heck of a job early to really not give the Tampa Bay Lightning much of an opportunity to get going. And therefore, the Panthers seemed like they really took the crowd out of things at Amalie Arena early in that first period, when you felt like maybe it was going to be a raucous atmosphere. You felt like early on Tampa Bay might come in and try to throw everything at the Panthers. And I'm sure that was the mindset, but the Panthers just didn't give them an inch. What'd you like about the way that the Panthers started Game 3 and were able to really thwart that Lightning attack? They did get some traction in the second period. They had a little bit going offensively, but the Panthers kept them at bay early. What do you want to see them do similarly to that coming up here in Game 4 today?
Like it has been all series, like you said, it comes down to the start. If you can find a way to build a little bit of a lead there early in Game 4 with the Lightning on the brink, you probably take the fans out of it, you probably demoralize the Bolts a little bit, and you probably have an easier path to victory. So we'll see if that happens. If not, for the Panthers, just keep it a 5-on-5. They've been the better 5-on-5 team this entire series. The less time the Lightning have on the power play, the better, even though, like we said, the PK has been so good. Just keep it a 5-on-5. Try to get that early lead. And just the longer the game goes, the longer the Panthers can hold a lead, the more likely it is they're going to win this game, because it's tough to be the team down 3-0. The Panthers were down 3-1 last year in the series, and they found a way. But to be a team down 3-0 in a series and know you're not only going to win that game, but you got to climb a big, big mountain, it's tough. It's tough to get in that mental headspace. And for the Panthers, you can kind of take them out of that early, I think, with a good start.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com. We will see you at the rink later on today. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Doug.
That's Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast, which, by the way, keep a lookout for another episode of Territory Talk in the coming days, wherever you get your podcast. Folks, we are going to step aside. We'll come back, and we will have more of the Panthers Insider Show coming up in just a few. A reminder, Panthers and the Lightning, game four today from Tampa, 5 o'clock puck drop, 4:30 Panthers preview across the radio network. Miami-Dade, Broward County listeners, catch us on AM 790 WAXY coming up again today with pregame coverage beginning at 4:30. More of the Panthers Insider Show coming up on the other side of the break. I'm Doug Plagans. This is the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back, Panthers Insider Show. It's the Panthers and the Lightning game four, 5 o'clock, puck drop, 4:30 Panthers preview on the radio network this afternoon. Doug Plagan's with you, and we'll be with you all evening long, and I'll be joined this evening, as always, by my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, Billy Lindsay. And, well, the Panthers coming off that 5-3 victory in Game 3 back on Thursday, and had a chance to catch up with Billy to chat about that game and more. And, well, looking back to Thursday's game, the Panthers in Game 3, they were 4-for-4 on the penalty kill against a really good Tampa Bay power play unit. First thing I asked Billy was what he liked specifically about the penalty kill in that game and in the series to this point.
They've been able to attack. There's no sitting back, and it's a real lethal power play on the other side, and maybe there's some trepidation of going after them, but Paul Maurice and the way they've been able to read off each other, it's been full attack mode, not letting them off the hook, and you've seen some errant passes from Kucherov, not a lot of time for them to really get set up on the power play. Their down ice pressure has worked extremely well. They have not had the extended zone time that you're looking for to have a successful power play. The sticks in lanes, Forsling has been unbelievable at getting his sticks in lane, blocking passes. And they've just kind of, they've fed off each other. There's a comfort level when they go on the ice. It doesn't matter who you are. Kucherov, Stamkos, Point, Hedman, we're going to come after you. If you can beat us, good luck. But they have not had the puck movement just because of the pressure and the Panthers' ability to read and react as far as their penalty killers go.
And Billy, you mentioned it during the post game and throughout the broadcast in Game 3, but I know when you see the fourth line come through with big plays, you get excited about that. Stephen Lawrence had what ended up being the game-winning goal last game, his first Stanley Cup playoff goal. Kyle Okposo came in, did a great job, regardless of who it's been on that line. First, it illustrates the depth that the Panthers have overall, but secondly, to be able to get contributions like that from across the board, especially in a big game on the road like that, what does that do for the team as a whole?
It's just massive. As far as the coaching staff, Paul Maurice realized, I got a fourth line that I can trust, that I can put on the ice. When you get that kind of scoring, it alleviates pressure off some of your top guys. And that role is unique, and it's hard to buy in. With all the penalties that happened, you have to understand, I'm going to get maybe 7-8 minutes of ice time. Your mental focus has to be there, sitting on the bench, knowing when your number gets called, okay, we might not be getting all the ice time, but we have to be ready to go. And you could see that from that line, the first play on the Montour goal, just heavy forechecking. It was relentless, and that's the style that you have an identity as a fourth line, the ability to turn the tide. And the Lorenz goal is the same stuff. It's just hard work and mantra, and Nick Cousins talked about it in an interview with us. It becomes about playing below the dots in the playoffs, about hunger and getting in, forcing turnovers, creating energy as a fourth line. It just makes everyone's job a little bit easier. And to see those guys, you saw Brandon Montour with a Nick Cousins shirt off on in the post game, kind of paying a homage to him. Those guys in a role, even Kyle Okposo when he's out, they're loved on the team, and they know that they're a big factor. So when they get on the score sheet like that, it just gives a little bit more juice and energy to the whole, not to only the fourth line, but to the whole room, and it brings a smile to everyone's face.
Billy Lindsay here with us, and of course he'll be with us all evening when we get to Game 4 coming up later on, 5 o'clock face-off, 4:30 on the radio network. We'll start our pregame coverage, but Billy, Jameson Olive and I talked about this earlier, but the save that Sergei Bobrovsky made in game two, it made the rounds. It was getting airplay in places where you don't even usually see sports coverage, much less hockey coverage. Considering the situation in the game at that point, tied, a playoff game, rivalry matchup, everything like that, plus the fact that it was just an acrobatic save, where did that one rank among the best saves that you've seen in person?
It's in my top two or three that I've ever witnessed, either playing or as an analyst. I don't know how it happened, just never quitting on the play, contorting his body backwards and spinning around and getting a piece of it. 99.9% of the time, that's going to end up in the net. That's how rare of a save it was. And you mentioned the time. It's 2-2. Tampa Bay's got everything rolling. They get that puck into the net, 3-2. This series maybe has a different complexion. And Sergei Bobrovsky came across. And to look back, and we've talked about with many people, where does it rank all time as far as saves? Everyone seems to put it in the top 10. It's a long history in the NHL. The only thing I can guarantee in Panther history and lore, there's been nothing better. That is number one, off the charts, through the roof. There should be posters. There should be everything of that save. Maybe build a billboard in the playoffs of Sergei Bobrovsky to do what he does. And you're going to need, we saw it last year going to the finals, you're going to need some either great plays, some luck at times, some bounces to go your way. And it kind of all adds up. And if you go on round by round and continue to trek, the bigger that save, even though the bigger the save comes, if you go to the second, third, fourth, if you get to the Stanley Cup Finals, that save becomes even bigger as far as the impact of it, just because it allows you to get on. Now everyone remembers that save. You get into the Stanley Cup Final, they're going to show that immediately as far as, how did the Panthers get here? How did they get? Well, go back to round one, Sergei Bobrovsky save. You go back to the playoffs last year, Brad Marchand on a breakaway to end the series. Seconds on the clock, Bobrovsky makes a save. Those type of things need to happen. It was diabolical. It was wonderful and something that I was glad to witness firsthand.
Yeah, it's one of those plays that's going to be in every Panthers highlight reel from now through the rest of time. I think it's pretty safe to say. Billy, for the Panthers overall, the buzz that we've seen around this team going back to last year, the crowds in the building, we saw the videos of the watch parties, for example, during Game 3 just the other night. All the excitement, we see it from the people who, and we thank all of them, the people listening and tweeting into the broadcast, things like that. How exciting is it for you to see that as somebody who's seen more of the Panthers' overall history than just about anybody else has, going back to day one as a player and now being around the team as an analyst?
Yeah, just to see the buzz back, it's something that we experienced early on in the early 90s, and it went away and took some time to build it, but four straight years in the playoffs, you have the Stanley Cup run, and our rink is loud. It is jumping. It's crazy with the fan, the energy, the enthusiasm. South Florida, you have to win to build that fan base. And you got to earn the trust of the fans. And we damaged it over a course of a number of years, and it was hard to get back. So you get back and you start knocking on the door. You keep getting into the playoffs. You got some players that are really easy to like. Fun going. Matthew Tkachuk, Barkov. You go down to that locker room, everyone seems to have a real distinct personality that kind of sticks out and gravitates, where fans can kind of latch on to certain players. And that's my favorite. You're going to see a different one. So the spark is back, and it's due to Bill Zito, the owner, Mr. Viola, getting everything synced up all the way down to the coaching staff, to the players. Everyone is on the same page. And when you have that, all of a sudden your fan base says, they're starting to build something pretty special, and it means a lot. And now this is ours. The Panthers are now ingrained in the Panther. This is a team that we want to root for, ingrained. We want to watch them on TV. We want to get down to the rink. So these are what makes pro sports special. And the team, the players have earned it. And it's a treat for the fans to be there, and they kind of feed off each other. The players give it back to the fans as far as their work ethic, and the fans in the stands just screaming their heads off, making it so loud. The players on the bench can feel that energy.
And I know we can't wait to see the home fans again, Billy, but I think everybody would love to see the Panthers get this thing done today, and then maybe a little bit of a break. Maybe the next time we see the home fans would be game one of round two. Taking it one day at a time, looking at the game here today, Billy. Puck drops at 5 in Tampa. What's the biggest thing you want to see if the Panthers are going to do what they've done really in this series so far, and that's have pretty good starts in each game?
That's going to be critical. You want to get off that start, and if you're able to get that first goal or frustrate Tampa Bay in that opening period, with the way the series stands, there's doubt over there. There's a lot of doubt. Can we beat this team? How do we go about beating them? There's been frustration. Paul Maurice is not looking at the tape and kind of looking, what kind of major adjustments do I have to make? Maybe some tweaks. On the other side, John Cooper, he's scrambling. He's looking all over. Who do I put with who? What line combinations? How do I make this work so we can beat this team? So if you're able to put any kind of seed in doubt in that first period, get a lead, kill some penalties, maybe score the first goal of the game, or if it's scoreless going into the second period, that doubt becomes even louder in the brains, and the pressure, even though they've won Stanley Cups and been there before, the pressure really, really starts to sink in the longer this game stays closer towards the end. So the key for the Panthers, keep it close, be physical, try and get that lead, dictate. Panthers have been able to dictate the style and pace of the play. If you go out and are able to establish that again, all of a sudden Tampa Bay goes back and says, yeah, here we go again. How do we solve this riddle? It becomes a problem.
So big thanks, Billy Lindsay, for stopping by. And you'll hear Billy with me coming up when we get to the broadcast. 4:30 Panthers preview, 5 o'clock drop in the puck, part of a four-game slate in the Stanley Cup playoffs today. Hurricanes Islanders game 4 at 2. Carolina looking for the sweep there. Boston Toronto tied at, Bruins and the Maple Leafs going into their game 4 coming up this evening at 8 p.m. Boston leads the series 2-1. And then Dallas and Vegas, the nightcap at 10:30 Eastern. Panthers and the Lightning, 4:30 Panthers preview, 5 o'clock across the radio network. Join us for that one. Panthers trying to close out the series today, folks. Again, this has been Panthers Insider. Thanks to you for tuning in. Thanks, Billy Lindsay, for stopping by. Thanks, Jamison Olive, for stopping by. I'm Doug Plagans. This is Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back, Panthers Insider Show. It's the Panthers of the Lightning game 4, 5 o'clock, puck drop, 4:30 Panthers preview on the radio network this afternoon. Doug Plagan's with you, and we'll be with you all evening long, and I'll be joined this evening, as always, by my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, Billy Lindsay. And, well, the Panthers coming off that 5-3 victory in Game 3 back on Thursday, and had a chance to catch up with Billy to chat about that game and more. And, well, looking back to Thursday's game, the Panthers in Game 3, they were 4-for-4 on the penalty kill against a really good Tampa Bay power play unit. First thing I asked Billy was what he liked specifically about the penalty kill in that game and in the series to this point.
They've been able to attack. There's no sitting back, and it's a real lethal power play on the other side, and maybe there's some trepidation of going after them, but Paul Maurice and the way they've been able to read off each other, it's been full attack mode, not letting them off the hook, and you've seen some errant passes from Kucherov, not a lot of time for them to really get set up on the power play. Their down ice pressure has worked extremely well. They have not had the extended zone time that you're looking for to have a successful power play. The sticks in lanes, Forsling has been unbelievable at getting his sticks in lane, blocking passes. And they've just kind of, they've fed off each other. There's a comfort level when they go on the ice. It doesn't matter who you are. Kucherov, Stamkos, Point, Hedman, we're going to come after you. If you can beat us, good luck. But they have not had the puck movement just because of the pressure and the Panthers' ability to read and react as far as their penalty killers go.
And Billy, you mentioned it during the post game and throughout the broadcast in game three, but I know when you see the fourth line come through with big plays, you get excited about that. Stephen Lawrence had what ended up being the game-winning goal last game, his first Stanley Cup playoff goal. Kyle Okposo came in, did a great job. Regardless of who it's been on that line, first, it illustrates the depth that the Panthers have overall. But secondly, to be able to get contributions like that from across the board, especially in a big game on the road like that, what does that do for the team as a whole?
It's just massive. As far as the coaching staff, Paul Maurice realized I got a fourth line that I can trust, that I can put on the ice. When you get that kind of scoring, it alleviates pressure off some of your top guys. And that role is unique, and it's hard to buy in. With all the penalties that happened, you have to understand, I'm going to get maybe 7-8 minutes of ice time. Your mental focus has to be there, sitting on the bench, knowing when your number gets called, okay, we might not be getting all the ice time, but we have to be ready to go. And you could see that from that line, the first play on the Montour goal, just heavy forechecking. It was relentless, and that's the style that you have to have. An identity as a fourth line, the ability to turn the tide. And the Lawrence goal is the same stuff. It's just hard work and mantra. And Nick Cousins talked about it in an interview with us. It becomes about playing below the dots in the playoffs, about hunger and getting in, forcing turnovers, creating energy as a fourth line. It just makes everyone's job a little bit easier. And to see those guys, you saw Brandon Montour with a Nick Cousins shirt off on in the post game, kind of paying a homage to him. Those guys in a role, even Kyle Okposo when he's out, they're loved on the team, and they know that they're a big factor. So when they get on the score sheet like that, it just gives a little bit more juice and energy to the whole, not to only the fourth line, but to the whole room, and it brings a smile to everyone's face.
Billy Lindsay here with us, and of course he'll be with us all evening when we get to game four coming up later on, 5 o'clock faceoff, 4:30 on the radio network. We'll start our pregame coverage. But Billy, Jameson Olive and I talked about this earlier, but the save that Sergei Bobrovsky made in game two, it made the rounds. It was getting airplay in places where you don't even usually see sports coverage, much less hockey coverage. Considering the situation in the game at that point, tied, a playoff game, rivalry matchup, everything like that, plus the fact that it was just an acrobatic save, where did that one rank among the best saves that you've seen in person?
It's in my top two or three that I've ever witnessed, either playing or as an analyst. I don't know how it happened, just never quitting on the play, contorting his body backwards and spinning around and getting a piece of it. 99.9% of the time, that's going to end up in the net. That's how rare of a save it was. And you mentioned the time. It's 2-2. Tampa Bay's got everything rolling. They get that puck into the net, 3-2. This series maybe has a different complexion. And Sergei Bobrovsky came across. And to look back, and we've talked about with many people, where does it rank all time as far as saves? Everyone seems to put it in the top 10. It's a long history in the NHL. The only thing I can guarantee in Panther history and lore, there's been nothing better. That is number one, off the charts, through the roof. There should be posters. There should be everything of that save. Maybe build a billboard in the playoffs of Sergei Bobrovsky to do what he does. And you're going to need, we saw it last year going to the finals, you're going to need some either great plays, some luck at times, some bounces to go your way. And it kind of all adds up. And if you go on round by round and continue to trek, the bigger that save, even though the bigger the save comes, if you go to the second, third, fourth, if you get to the Stanley Cup Finals, that save becomes even bigger as far as the impact of it, just because it allows you to get on. Now everyone remembers that save. You get into the Stanley Cup Final, they're going to show that immediately. As far as how did the Panthers get here? How did they get? Well, go back to round one, Sergei Bobrovsky's save. You go back to the playoffs last year, Brad Marchand on a breakaway to end the series. Seconds on the clock, Bobrovsky makes a save. Those type of things need to happen. It was diabolical. It was wonderful and something that I was glad to witness firsthand.
Yeah, it's one of those plays that's going to be in every Panthers highlight reel from now through the rest of time. I think it's pretty safe to say. Billy, for the Panthers overall, the buzz that we've seen around this team going back to last year, the crowds in the building, we saw the videos of the watch parties, for example, during Game 3 just the other night. All the excitement, we see it from the people who, and we thank all of them, the people listening and tweeting into the broadcast, things like that. How exciting is it for you to see that as somebody who's seen more of the Panthers' overall history than just about anybody else has, going back to day one as a player and now being around the team as an analyst?
Yeah, just to see the buzz back, it's something that we experienced early on in the early 90s, and it went away and took some time to build it. But 4 straight years in the playoffs, you have the Stanley Cup run, and our rink is loud. It is jumping. It's crazy with the fan, the energy, the enthusiasm. South Florida, you have to win to build that fan base. And you got to earn the trust of the fans. And we damaged it over a course of a number of years, and it was hard to get back. So you get back and you start knocking on the door. You keep getting into the playoffs. You got some players that are really easy to like, fun going. Matthew Tkachuk, Barkov. You go down to that locker room, everyone seems to have a real distinct personality that kind of sticks out and gravitates, where fans can kind of latch on to certain players. And that's my favorite. You're going to see a different one. So the spark is back, and it's due to Bill Zito, the owner, Mr. Viola, getting everything synced up all the way down to the coaching staff, to the players. Everyone is on the same page. And when you have that, all of a sudden your fan base says, they're starting to build something pretty special, and it means a lot. And now this is ours. The Panthers are now ingrained in the Panther. This is a team that we want to root for, ingrained. We want to watch them on TV. We want to get down to the rink. So these are what makes pro sports special. And the team, the players have earned it. And it's a treat for the fans to be there, and they kind of feed off each other. The players give it back to the fans as far as their work ethic, and the fans in the stands just screaming their heads off, making it so loud. The players on the bench can feel that energy.
And I know we can't wait to see the home fans again, Billy, but I think everybody would love to see the Panthers get this thing done today, and then maybe a little bit of a break. Maybe the next time we see the home fans would be game one of round two. Taking it one day at a time, looking at the game here today, Billy. Puck drops at 5 in Tampa. What's the biggest thing you want to see if the Panthers are going to do what they've done really in this series so far, and that's have pretty good starts in each game?
That's going to be critical. You want to get off that start, and if you're able to get that first goal or frustrate Tampa Bay in that opening period, with the way the series stands, there's doubt over there. There's a lot of doubt. Can we beat this team? How do we go about beating them? There's been frustration. Paul Maurice is not looking at the tape and kind of looking, what kind of major adjustments do I have to make? Maybe some tweaks. On the other side, John Cooper's, he's scrambling. He's looking all over. Who do I put with who? What line combinations? How do I make this work so we can beat this team? So if you're able to put any kind of seed in doubt in that first period, get a lead, kill some penalties, maybe score the first goal of the game, or if it's scoreless going into the second period, that doubt becomes even louder in the brains, and the pressure, even though they've won Stanley Cups and been there before, the pressure really, really starts to sink in the longer this game stays closer towards the end. So the key for the Panthers, keep it close, be physical, try and get that lead, dictate. Panthers have been able to dictate the style and pace of the play. If you go out and are able to establish that again, all of a sudden Tampa Bay goes back and says, yeah, here we go again. How do we solve this riddle? It becomes a problem.
So big thanks, Billy Lindsay, for stopping by. And you'll hear Billy with me coming up when we get to the broadcast. 4:30 Panthers preview, 5 o'clock drop in the puck, part of a 4-game slate in the Stanley Cup playoffs today. Hurricanes Islanders game 4 at 10. 2. Carolina looking for the sweep there. Boston, Toronto tied at, Bruins and the Maple Leafs going into their Game 4 coming up this evening at 8 p.m. Boston leads the series 2-1. And then Dallas and Vegas, the nightcap at 10:30 Eastern. Panthers and the Lightning, 4:30 Panthers preview, 5 o'clock. Across the radio network. Join us for that one. Panthers trying to close out the series today, folks. Again, this has been Panthers Insider. Thanks to you for tuning in. Thanks, Billy Lindsay, for stopping by. Thanks, Jamison Olive, for stopping by. I'm Doug Plagans. This is Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.